All right, let's take our Bibles this morning and turn to the book of 1 Corinthians in the New Testament, chapter 3. 1 Corinthians, chapter 3. You know how when you fly on an airplane, you get off the airplane and nothing works up here? You know, all up here. Well, that's what happened to me on Wednesday and Thursday. Oh, my goodness. I feel like I'm about to die of the choke to death. That's what I feel like. But anyway, I hope I do not annoy you while I'm preaching this morning with my voice. All right, 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Now, I'm only going to read one verse. I got a lot to say, and I want to prove my point scripturally this morning by having you look at some other scripture to back it up. So if you'll look, please, at verse 11, you will find my text verse this morning. Verse 11, 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 11. And here's what Paul says, for other, what's the next word? Foundation. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. All right, now, everybody look here real carefully. All right, think. You know what Paul's saying right there? He is saying that there is no other foundation that you can build upon. There's only one that's sufficient and one that works, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ. It will do no one any good at all to try and build on something other than the death, burial, and resurrection of God's only begotten Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Period. Exclamation point, no doubt about it. That's the Bible. All right, everybody clear on that now? All right, good. So let me read it one more time. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. I want to speak to you this morning on the importance of the foundation. Let's pray together. Father, thank you so much for the music that has prepared our hearts now to receive your wonderful word. Father, I pray you'll help me as I speak this morning. I want to be a blessing. I want you to use me to help folks this morning to see our wonderful Savior and just another angle in which to take the Lord Jesus and prop him up before the ears and before the eyes and the hearts of all our folks here this morning. So, Father, bless your word. Help us to see the Lord Jesus clear as a bell. And may we leave here today rejoicing in our wonderful Savior, for it's in his name we ask it. Amen. In this amazing chapter, there are so many things that are being discussed by the Apostle Paul. And here in the third chapter, he is speaking of the Christian life and illustrating this life as a man building a home, a house. The whole thing is a picture here, and it is of a man building a house. And Paul's point is that there is a foundation that you have to build upon. If you don't build upon a foundation, you know what's going to happen, don't you? Yeah, eventually the house is going to tilt. It's going to sink. It's going to crack. It's going to the basement is going to separate from everything else, and it's just going to be a mess. So the first thing that Paul discusses here is how, if a person is going to build a building, they best make sure that the house is built on a sure and solid foundation. You see, a builder is not going to simply build a beautiful brand new home without building first or digging first a foundation. You've got to have a sure foundation. As a matter of fact, one of the first things to happen when you're building a house is to dig the footer, what we call the footer, the foundation. And as you are building that foundation or digging that foundation, when you get it done, an inspector has to come in to see if the foundation is sufficient for the house that you're going to put up. And so this house that we are building as believers is an eternal home. All right? It's going to last forever. Now, if something's going to last forever, that must mean that it's set on a good foundation. Would you not believe accept that? Sure. So we got to have a good foundation. When I was in college one summer, I worked for a fella in our church, in our home church, who built houses. And I was always impressed with the care that went into the foundation of those homes that we built. In about a five-month period, we started all of these homes and built them. Then at a certain level, they would start another one and lay the foundations for another one, and then bring in various crews to do different things in order to get the houses done. Well, I got put on the foundation crew, which was just grunt labor, but that's all right. That's the only thing I knew how to do. While I was working for Dean Construction, I came to the conclusion that I was going to get a college education. Yeah, that's what really settled it in my heart. Get that education, boy, and so I did. And but anyway, in one corner of this house that we built, the backhoe was there and was digging out the foundation. And as he rounded the various sides of the house and stuck his bucket down in to scoop out the dirt, all of a sudden, water started pouring out. I mean, it filled up that corner of that thing, and it was knocking the dirt down. It was coming out with force, and we thought that maybe he had hit a water pipe, but there were no water pipes there. So what happened was it hit a spring. That backhoe hit a spring, and it just opened up, and that thing filled up with water, and you could see the dirt just dropping on the sides until we had a big hole bigger than this. I mean, it was a monster hole. And so they called the boss, and the boss came out, and he had some great big stones, some big old stones and concrete that were on another lot close to where we were. So he got the dump truck and he got an inloader and picked up all those rocks and all that concrete and came over and started dumping it in that hole. And I'm standing there going, that's not going to work. That's just not going to work. Now, I'm not a builder. I'm not, I don't know anything about any of that stuff. But, you know, that's not going to work. And what they threw in, it just disappeared. And I thought, oh, my goodness, you know, what now? So they just kept bringing in rock. And so we had to wait another day. When we came back, the whole thing was flooded. It was a mess. I mean, it was an absolute mess. But he said, we're going to plug that hole if it kills us. And I thought, it's going to kill all of us if we're not careful. So anyway, they brought in a bunch of gravel. They brought in a bunch of stone. They brought in a bunch of creek gravel, which was easy to get free. And we just poured truckload after truckload after truckload into that little corner section of that house. And the concrete truck, cement truck, was due to come that day. So we're sitting there waiting on the truck, and all of a sudden we looked down and you could see rock. Nothing was moving. It was solid. And so Mr. Dean said, Mr. Dean said, that's good enough for me. And I thought, oh boy, I'm glad I'm not buying this house. And so anyway, the concrete truck came and they filled the footers full of concrete. And as they poured the concrete down into that hole that was there in that one corner, it was the front left corner of the house, they stood there and poured the concrete down in it and just kept pouring and kept pouring until they ran out. So they called and got another truck. And the other truck came and they poured concrete down in a whole truck full of concrete down in that hole. And finally, it kind of leveled out a little bit. And Mr. Dean said, let's go with this. This will work. This will work. I thought, oh my goodness. So anyway, that's what we did. And we put the house up. I mean, we poured the foundation, started laying the block, put the house up, got it under roof, got it fixed up completely. And several years later, after I went back to college and finished my degree, I came back to that area to pastor at Twin City. And so while I was pastor there, my assistant and I went to visit a family that had visited the church, and that family lived in that community. Now, they didn't live in that house, but they lived across the street. And so we went in, sat down, and one thing led to another, and I said, do you know your neighbors across the way? And they said, oh, yeah, so-and-so, sweet people, nice people. And I said, have you ever been inside their house? They said, no, never been inside. Well, he said, we did go over and stand in the foyer and talk one day when they had a death in the family. And I said, oh, okay, so you didn't get to go downstairs. No, we didn't get to go downstairs. I said, has he ever said anything about having any water problems? And he said, well, no, he really hasn't. And I thought, phew, man. So we walked back out to the car, and I just stood there and looked at the house, and I thought, is it leaning this way? You know, that's what crossed my mind. You see, you got to get a good foundation. If something's wrong with the foundation, the building is simply not going to stand. And you got to have the right foundation. And folks, this shows us the importance of a foundation in any structure. And it's the same way with the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, we are building a spiritual home upon the foundation of the Lord Jesus Christ. We are saved by grace through faith. It's our faith, but it's God's grace. And that is the foundation upon which any of us can know the Lord Jesus and have a home in heaven. It's the foundation of Christ. And over and over and over in the Bible, that foundation is mentioned and it's explained, and it's the only way that we can know that we have eternal life, to be built on the solid foundation. And so we must be on the sure foundation, on one that is steadfast and that never fails. Paul says, as we are building this spiritual house, it must be built on the Lord Jesus Christ. And no other foundation is going to work. You know, I've been amazed through the years of all of the ways that folks have explained to me is their foundation. You know, you ask someone, well, do you know for sure, should something happen to you and God were to take your life, do you know for sure you'd go to heaven? And boy, you get all kinds of answers to that question. All kinds. I've said to you before, and I mean this, if you go down downtown streets of Westminster and you stop 10 people and ask them, do you know that you're going to heaven? Oh, well, I hope so. Well, what are you basing that on? Well, you know, and you're going to get nine or different answers, probably 10 today. All right, because so many foundations are being shoveled by the devil to get people off the true foundation. I remember one time years ago, I was visiting with a fella who had visited the church, and so Brother Stainer and I went to his house. And so I asked him, I said, if you died today, do you know you'd go to heaven? Well, I had a dream one time. And I thought, oh, dear. I said, really? He said, yes. He said, I had a dream one time. And so the foundation that this fellow was trusting was something totally intangible that was caused by pizza late before going to bed. All right? I mean, really, you're trusting your foundation is a dream that you had? That's not a sure foundation, if you want my opinion. I had a man tell me one time that he had gotten to the place in his spiritual life where he no longer sinned against God. And I said, really? He said, yeah. He said, now, you're not going to believe this. And I didn't say it, but boy, it was on the tip of my tongue. Are you kidding? I haven't believed anything you've told me since I walked in here. But, he said, you're not going to believe this. But he said, I haven't sinned, watch me now, in 5 years. 5 years. I went, oh, man, that's awful. That's terrible. And he's sitting there going, what? What? I said, man, you're sitting here bragging to me, proud of the fact that you haven't sinned in 5 years. And God says that pride is one of the seven deadly sins that he hates. So sorry you had to break your record right here in front of me. Well, he then proceeded to show me that he was still indeed a sinner. He lost it and was very upset that I called him on that. But you know, the truth of the matter is, folks, you've got to be on a sure foundation. You cannot build on any other foundation than that of the only man who ever lived on this planet who was 100% man, sinless man, and 100% Almighty God. That's the only foundation that's going to last. You cannot be on any other kind. And that foundation, here's the good news, folks. It's already been laid. It's already been laid. And it was laid by God himself. When the Lord Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, went to Calvary's cross and died and was buried and then resurrected on the third day. Jesus is the only foundation upon which any of us can build. All right, now, just a couple of things about the sure foundation. Number one, I want you to notice with me from the text the priority of a firm foundation. Notice here what Paul says, for other foundation can no man lay. There is no other foundation. You cannot puff your chest out and say, I'm going to lay the foundation of a sinless life. Sorry. Sorry. You're a sinner, saved by grace, but you're a sinner. You're a sinner. And all of us need to lay the foundation of Christ, not of our good works. As a matter of fact, Paul is pretty emphatic about it in the book of Ephesians. He said that our salvation is not of works, lest any man should boast. You see, you cannot lay any other foundation. The only foundation is the one that is already laid down. It's already been dug. It's already been proven. It's already been established. When God resurrected the Lord Jesus on the third day, it was settled right there. That is our only foundation. I've had folks say, oh, well, you know, I'm a member of the church. Well, whoop-de-doo. So what? No church died for you. Jesus died for you. I've heard them say, well, I was baptized. Really? Yeah. And that's your foundation. That's what you're trusting in. Well, listen, no baptistry ever died for you. Jesus did. You see, there's only one foundation, and it is a firm, solid, and sure foundation. A sure foundation is absolute if the building is going to stand. As you, most of you probably know, before I came here as the pastor of the church, our family lived in Joliet, Illinois, which is a suburb of Chicago. And I think everyone that knows about the fact that down in Chicago, there is a massive, huge building. It's a huge building, and it's called the Sears Tower. Now, you know, having lived there, we would sometimes, especially around Christmas, we would get on the train. It was called the L, and we would go up to Chicago and shop up on Michigan Avenue. And so one night we decided, let's go up, and then we'll go up the Sears Tower all the way to the top. There's an observation deck. So we went inside, and we had to wait a little while because some other folks were ahead of us. And so I was reading some of the stuff that they have there about the building of that tower. And I learned something that it never occurred to me. It just never, I don't know. I mean, I knew there had to be a story, but I sure didn't know it. And it seems that the Sears Tower, as tall as it is, has underneath it a foundation that is as deep as it is tall. And here's why. Because Chicago does not have bedrock. That's comforting, isn't it? I mean, all those people, they better be careful, hadn't they? All right? All their politics, man. If judgment ever came, it wouldn't be difficult. Everything up there is built on clay. But the guys that built that tower, they said there's got to be solid rock. So they started digging for it. They started sending those augers down to find out, and it was well over 1,000 feet down before they hit bedrock. And that is what they built the foundation of the Sears Tower upon. And that just amazed me. The entire city of Chicago is built on clay. And that's one reason why the streets, the roads in Chicago are always so disastrous. As a matter of fact, a joke in the entire area is that Chicago has two seasons. They have winter and they have road construction. All right? Two seasons, winter and road construction. And they are constantly building roads up there. And the reason is because there's no foundation. There's no sure foundation for 1,000 feet underneath the city. So eventually, though, the builders found bedrock, but they had to go hundreds and hundreds of feet down in order to hit the bedrock. Now, had they not found the bedrock, they never would have been able to build that the entire Chicago skyline. So it took a while, but they found it. And this shows us the importance of a solid, sure foundation. You see, folks, our eternal salvation must be established. It must be built on an eternal foundation. And for certain, it was. Our salvation was built, listen carefully now, upon an eternal promise made all the way back in the beginning in the Garden of Eden when Adam first sinned against God by disobeying God's direct command. He disobeyed God's word. And as soon as he did, man became a sinner. And he passed that sin nature down to his children to their children to their children, all the way down to each and every one of us. We are all sinners by nature, all right? We were born that way. And so what God do? Well, God took two lambs when Adam and Eve disobeyed him and sinned. He took two lambs, one for Adam, one for Eve, and he made coats of skins and clothed them. You remember, they hid themselves from God. They were hiding from God. And God said, "Why are you hiding?" And we hid because we were naked. And God said, "How do you know you were naked? Did you disobey me?" And Adam said, "Well, my fault's her fault." And looked at Eve, and Eve said, "Wasn't my fault, it's that serpent's fault." All right? So the whole idea was that man's a sinner, and he needs redemption. He needs redemption. He needs salvation. And if he does not get that salvation, he is destined to spend all of eternity in an awful place called hell, paying for the wages of sin. And so God said, "Let me take these two little innocent lambs, and I'll have these lambs die in your place, and there the blood of these lambs will atone, will cover your sin." And you know that that's exactly what God did. But when he did that, he made a promise that he would, one of these days, send his only begotten Son, the Lord Jesus, not just to cover man's sin, but to take it away, to remove it, never to be remembered against us no more. Oh, I'm so thankful that on October the 25th in 1970, I got on my knees at an altar, and the youth pastor knelt down beside of me and opened his Bible and showed me that Jesus died for me and showed me the foundation that I needed to get on. And when he showed me that, I prayed and asked the Lord Jesus to come into my life, forgive me of all my sin, and make me a child of God. And you know what God did? He did that. He saved me right there. Right that moment. I didn't have to go through catechism classes. I didn't have to do this. I didn't have to do that. No, all I did was put my faith and trust in Jesus. And he saved me. Amen. And he'll do the same for you. He'll do the same for you. But that's God. God said, "Adam, this lamb is going to make a covering. But I'm going to send my Redeemer. This lamb's going to cover your sin. But I'm going to send my son who will take away your sin. And you'll remember, folks, you'll remember one day John the Baptist was down at the river baptizing converts. And in the middle of the baptism, all of a sudden, here comes the Lord Jesus Christ. And John stopped and pointed at Jesus and had everybody look at the man who stood in front of him. And John said, "Behold, the," not a, "the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world." Isn't that awesome? You see, Jesus did not come to just atone, just to cover. No, he came to take away. Do you realize, folks, that the very moment, now think of this, the very moment you trust Jesus as your Savior, you will never, ever again have to stand before God to give an account of your sin. Your sin's paid for. It was paid for when Jesus was on that cross. And when he hung on that cross, he cried, "It is finished." There's nothing more that you can do. The foundation was laid right there. So quit trying to get yourself to heaven. You're not going to make it. You say, "Well, I'm going to get on this foundation." No, the only foundation is Christ. The only foundation is Christ. Well, that was the first point. Number two, I want you to notice the person of the foundation. And that's pretty simple, isn't it? Verse 11, "For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is" who? Jesus. There you go. And yet for some reason, men everywhere are trying to build on a bunch of other things. Oh, how the devil is so slick. But it never works. It never works. There are those who will say, "Oh, you have to be baptized in order to be saved." No, it's not what my Bible says. Down in West Virginia, there's a whole element of these people who have been taught from the time they were knee-high to a bullfrog that you have to be baptized in order to be saved. Oh, it's Jesus. Yeah, but you got to be baptized. And so I was at a funeral home, and this fellow waddles up to me, and I say that literally. He waddled up to me and he said, "Yeah, four of y'all got that. Okay, all right." And he says, "You the preacher?" I said, "Yes, sir." He said, "I thought you was." I said, "Yeah, I is." And he said, "What do you think about baptismal regeneration?" And I smiled and I said, "Ma'am, where'd you learn all those big fancy words?" And he said, "My uncle taught him to me." I said, "Oh, okay, all right. So what do you think about baptismal regeneration?" And I said, "I'm against it." He said, "I knew you would be." I said, "Well, then why did you ask? You just wanted to argue with me, didn't you?" And he said, "Well, I can tell you right now, preacher, you're wrong." And I said, "Is that right?" He said, "Yes, sir, you're wrong." He said, "The Bible says that you got to be baptized." And I said, "All right." And I reached in my pocket and I got my New Testament and I said, "Show me. Show me where it says that." "Well, I don't know, but it's in there somewhere." And he handed it back to me. He said, "You got to get baptized in running water." And I said, "Running water? Wait, What are you talking about? He said, like a river or a creek, the water has to be running. And I said, why? And he said, so it'll wash your sins away. And I said, wow, not heard that one. He said, oh yeah, everybody knows that. And I said, well, I got a question for you. What is it? I said, suppose that you were down here at the river, you know, the running water, and you're baptizing, and you start dunking people in the water, and it's washing all their sins down the river, right? He said, yeah. I said, all right, so let's suppose that 15 minutes later, down around the bend, there's another church that goes to the river, and they say, we're going to baptize our converts. And so they take them out in the water, and as soon as they put them under, all the sins of your people come rushing down across them. Now what are you going to do? Well, I said, think about it. If you're saying to me that you have to be baptized in running water, and you got all these people down here and they're getting baptized, soon as they come up out of the water, your sins hit them. Oh my, did they got to be rebaptized? Don't you realize, my friend, there is already a foundation. You don't have to be making up a bunch of stuff and putting other things in where the main character, without doubt, is the Lord Jesus Christ. That's our foundation. That's our foundation. It's just amazing the foundations that people are trusting today. All right, real quickly, one more thing. I want you to notice the picture, the portrayal. Go over to the book of Matthew chapter 7 for just a moment. Matthew 7. Matthew chapter 7. By the way, folks, there's a verse in Philippians 2 in verse 12, and it says, work out your own salvation. Well, wait a minute, you can't work it out until it's been worked in. Huh? You can't work it out until God puts it in. That was free, didn't cost you a thing. All right, look at chapter 7. Look at chapter 7, verse 24. Therefore, are y'all still turning? Matthew 7, you got it? All right. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man, which, what's the next word? Built his, what? House upon a, what? In other words, a foundation. Nod your heads. You see that? All right. So then verse 25, and the rain descended and the floods came and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was, what's the word? Founded upon a rock. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man. Oh my. Which built his house upon the sand. Not a foundation. Sand is shifting. It's always changing. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell. And great was the fall of it. Huh. Now, notice, folks, here's the picture. You know, it's amazing how in the Bible, it's such an amazing book, and it's amazing how God will lay down an amazing Bible truth, such as 1 Corinthians 3:11. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. That's it. That's the principle. But now, to verify, to validate, to strengthen the truth, God's Holy Spirit, the author of this book, will put something in another passage of Scripture which supports his truth. And here is an illustration spoken by the Lord Jesus himself. And Jesus says that there are two choices for a foundation. One man built his house on the rock, and the other built his on the sand. And when the storm came, the guy that was built on the rock, his house stood. But the guy that was built on no foundation, his house crumbled. All right? Now, I know that it's awful easy for folks to say, well, you know, if I build on the rock, man, I mean, I got to work. Yeah, you got to dig down to it, don't you? Hey, back in Bible times, no backhoes. Hello? No backhoes. If you're going to dig down to the rock, you got to do it the old-fashioned way. Dig. Work. Sweat. Toil. Yeah. You know how it is. This guy over here said, I don't want to work. I'm just going to build mine on the sand. Well, it didn't last, did it? One storm, down it went. What's the point? The point is, you got to build on the rock. And that rock is the Lord Jesus Christ. There is no other way, folks. Now, search your heart this morning. Are you building your spiritual house on the rock? Are you building on that firm foundation? You remember the hymn, it says, my hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. Oh, it's pretty clear, pretty simple, that the house is to be built on a firm foundation. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. Are you on the right foundation? Let's bow for prayer. Well, now, our Father, thank you so much for your eternal word. And I pray you'll bless what's been said here this morning. Help us to understand that we need to be on the sure foundation. It's not trusting ourselves. It's not our works. It's not our goodness. We have no goodness. Isaiah says all of our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. That's our righteousnesses. The good things we do. But Father, bless and help us all to examine our own hearts in the light of the message we just heard, the sure foundation. With our heads bowed and our eyes closed, if you're here today and not 100% sure that you're on the foundation, I want to let you know that there's a God who loves you. That God loves you. And he loves you so much, he sent his only begotten Son, the Lord Jesus, and he became our foundation. So if you're here today and not sure, we're going to stand in just a moment and sing an invitation hymn. And I want you to step out and come. Let us take a Bible and show you how you can know that you're going to heaven. So Father, speak to our hearts now. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen.